Well, hey, welcome back to the Life in the City podcast from Antioch. How's everybody doing?
Good. Sorry, I was taking a big yawn there. It is a rainy Monday morning here in Minneapolis.
I saw that just as we started. I was like, oh, I'll edit that out later. It's fine. Well, today we have a fun conversation with Sarah Crampy with us today.
Hi, guys.
Hey. So, Sarah, let's just start with, like, who are you? And how did you first come to Antioch?
Oh, well, I am married to Nathan Crampy, and we have three kids, Esther, Isaac, and Micah, and we live in Northeast Minneapolis, which we have now lived here since, I'm not even going to do the math, because it is a rainy Monday, so we've been there since 06, really.
Yeah.
We've been here for a while, and we used to attend a previous church in downtown Minneapolis. Nate started going there in his college years, and so we just kind of naturally kept going there. And then the former pastor at Antioch, he came and preached as a guest preacher, and because he was going to plant a church, and we just really felt led that we wanted to join in that mission because it was going to be in our neighborhood in Northeast, and we just felt that this was a good opportunity for us to come together and do this as a newly married couple. So
yeah, I was going to say, how long have you guys been married at that point?
Oh, maybe a year.
Okay,
yeah, it wasn't very long, but you know, because it was his church and I was kind of coming into it, mm-hmm. I never felt like it was my church. Mm-hmm. It was always kind of his church. He never made it to be that way, but it just felt like it to me. So, yeah.
So it was probably a good opportunity to, like, have a church of your own that you were helping to, like, come alongside Pastor Andy and in your community start something fresh and new.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was great. It was – Andy came and met with us at our condo at the time, and that was it. So, I mean, we were on mission.
You were some of the first people, like, on the core team, and then later Nate was the first elder.
Yeah.
I remember you guys actually found our first meeting space, or Nate did.
We did, because it was a block from us.
Right.
we walked our dog every morning, and we passed by, and we're like, that could be interesting. And sure enough, it worked out. So, and we have been walking to church ever since.
And that's even great. Though we've moved, so have you.
Yeah.
So
then, yeah, we have. We moved to a house just blocks away. And then when Antioch outgrew the former space, it moved again, only a couple blocks from our new house. So,
And once again, I'll toot your horn for you here. Like, once again, you were pivotal in getting this place ready, using your gifts and abilities with design to turn this place into what it is from what it was.
It's funny. I went to school for interior design. I did that commercially for, I think even with part-time work, I did it for over 10 years. And then I quit to stay home with my kids once my second born, Isaac, came along. And you never know when you're going to come back to those gifts, mm-hmm. and when you go back to those things you've done in college. So it was really fun to be a part of this, working on this space.
Well, knowing that Antioch's lease is coming up in less than a year, or about a year here, you should let us know if you guys are planning to move or anything, that we'll look around where you're moving, because it seems like our buildings are within walking distance of wherever you're living. So let us know any plans that you guys have.
Okay. Yeah, that's a toss-up.
That's hilarious. Well, I mean, so obviously you guys have been serving and a part of Antioch from the beginning, but in the last, like, 5 years or so now, you've had this other role, maybe longer than that. How long have you been in the role that you're in now, and what is that?
Oh, gosh. I was trying to think of that. I think it's been 7 years that I've been doing it.
That is crazy.
I think probably so, because I've been here 6 years. And
it was 2017 when I believe I took the position formally.
The position of kids ministry coordinator? Mm-hmm.
But I was doing, I was helping manage volunteers before that for the kids ministry because it was a separate role at the time.
Right.
So I started doing that.
That's crazy.
What led you to be like, I'd love to be in charge of coordinating volunteers and a kids curriculum program, you know, coming from like working full-time corporate, right? And then being stay-at-home mom to your kiddos. What kind of led you to be burdened to want to, one, get involved with our kids ministry, and two, feel up to leading a team of people in that?
Coley approached me about it. I'm not going to lie.
Many people's story starts with that. Coley approached me.
She wasn't the only one. Yeah. No, there was a huge need, and the position had been open. Coley, you were filling in kind of in the interim of that, and I was already doing the volunteer management. So it was kind of, and I wasn't serving anywhere else because I started with hospitality. I led hospitality for years. And then when I had Micah, it was, I kind of dropped that and I started just volunteering in the kids program. And then I helped out with the volunteers. So then it was, I didn't even know the position was open until you approached me, Coley. And I was like, no, no, I don't think so. I don't know. But then enough people approached me, and I even asked the former kids ministry coordinator, who is still a dear friend of mine. I asked her, I'm like, seriously? She goes, oh, I think you could do it. So that, I mean, I think at that point I interviewed and it was kind of from there. But how?
I don't even remember an interview process. That's funny.
It was very short. It wasn't super formal. I'm pretty sure there wasn't much paperwork either.
that sounds so right.
But yeah, I how I made it what it is today is purely God-driven because I think things have come to me over the years. And yes, people have spoken into giving me direction and ideas, but it's definitely, I don't have skills. I didn't go to school for teaching. I didn't go to school for management. I mean, I took up one class on it. So to be able to do what I do, I'm not really sure. It's got to be something other than myself.
Well, and even the child development side. I remember at the beginning you were like, why would I do this? I don't know kids. And well, you had kids at the time. So you've sort of like learned by doing, I think.
Learn on the job of parenting,
Yeah, and being involved in their schools and seeing how schools do things, seeing how Bible Study Fellowship runs their kids' ministry. I've learned a lot as I observe. I'm a huge observer, and I'm watching what I'm like really gleaning from what I'm viewing. So
yeah. So what is, so at Antioch, like people probably hear our mission for Antioch in general all the time, you know, that, or our vision at least is that we want to be a loving family, inviting all people into the life-changing way of Jesus Christ. But, not everybody may know that there's a kids ministry specific focus to that. How would you describe the purpose of kids ministry? Or is it just like babysitting so the parents can learn?
There is an aspect of, yes, we are helping parents and families be able to get something out of the worship service, especially for those younger kids. So there definitely is an aspect of childcare to that.
Sure.
But what we're really trying to do is partner with parents because we want the families to be the core of where the kids get, learn about Jesus. And so we're just trying to partner with families, equip them to work on that at home. But then also when the kids have their time with us, we're super intentional. Like we want them to know who God is, know who Jesus is, love God and love Jesus out of that knowledge and then live it out. Like how do they live it out? And so we really do, when we organize our lessons and our times together, we're really trying to do that. And just connecting, because we're all a body. So like how do we make those connections? And then hopefully kids will have a heart transformation. As they grow, it grows with them. It's not just like a boom, you're done. It grows as they grow and then take it with them.
And I like how you talked about partnering with families because I see that a lot. I mean, for those of you listening that don't have kids, parents at Antioch get a monthly email from you, Sarah.
Mm-hmm. Which are incredible.
They are.
Those emails are awesome.
There's some activities. There's some, like, ways to pray with your kids. It helps us know, like, what our kids are going to be learning about in the coming month. And even as a parent of just a toddler, it's helpful to know, like, what are some keywords my toddler has heard during the service. And
yeah, getting an accurate depiction of Sunday school or preschool, whatever we call it, from Dax, my three-year-old, is not always a reliable. This last Sunday, John asked him, what did you do in Sunday school? He goes, oh, I played with trucks. We're like, okay. And John asked, did you learn about Jesus? And he stopped and he thought, and he goes, no. And you're like, I know for a fact that you did. And then he goes, wait, yeah.
Which is hilarious. I was actually in the pre-K room with Dax this past Sunday. And we learned about, I mean, not in these terms, but the hypostatic union of Christ, being fully God, fully man, right?
I would have loved it if you had whipped out that word.
Yeah. We did not teach the pre-Kers that term, but we talked about how Jesus, like Adam, was a full human being. And we even played this little game, human or not human. Like, it was really fun.
Oh, funny.
We put it in pre-K friendly language, right? But regardless, like, there's foundational building blocks that the kids have of knowing, like, Jesus was human. He had a family like we had a family. Mm-hmm. He experienced things like we experience. And so, Sarah, I mean, I think you've brought in the Gospel Project curriculum for these kids' ministry kids to learn from. And I think it's been fantastic that kids are getting, regardless of age, developmentally appropriate views of who God is and how He loves them and how they can be in relationship with Him. Mm-hmm. Can you speak more to the Gospel Project curriculum?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of goes back to the knowledge of God, their love for God, and how they live it out grows as they grow. Mm-hmm. Because the Gospel Project is organized in that way that they kind of put it in very easy terms for toddlers and babies. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of becomes more complex. There's more questions. So that as kids' brains develop, they can handle that information better.
Yeah.
And then by the time you get to youth group, they're having super deep conversations about what does this look like in the world? How am I doing with this on, like, as I'm going through my day-to-day? You know, it's broken up as, like, daily reflections. Mm-hmm. So it goes from just really basic little, I mean, we do gospel fuzzies in the baby and toddler room. So it's like
For millennials, it's like the modern version of the salvation bracelet,
like the wordless bracelet.
Yes. Yeah.
Or the wordless.
So, I mean, they're learning, you know, there's heaven. I can't get in because I'm a sinner, but Jesus died for me. I'm clean and I'm growing in faith. I'm growing in love. I'm growing with Jesus. And so it takes those five things. So it's just really basic. Let's get, you know, the nuts and bolts of Christianity, like, right away. And then it just kind of grows as they grow. Like, it gets more complex to really help them form a relationship with Jesus at that point.
Yeah. What I think is so cool is that for, you know, like you said, it's a robust curriculum. Like, it doesn't just, like, gloss over, let's tell the stories, you know, but that also for families with kids in multiple age brackets, you can kind of have, like, if you talk over lunch about, hey, what'd you learn today? They actually all learned the same thing, just in their age appropriate way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really scaffolded really well to hit all those age appropriate.
That's a teacher word. The one teacher in the room.
Piaget. No.
Yeah.
No, it is, though. It's really scaffolded. So, like, I'm sure, like, Sarah, you have kids in two or three different classes now at Antioch. And so, like, they all are learning the same thing, but yet at various stages of their faith and understanding of who God is, able to really hone in on different parts of it based upon, like, I mean, I'm reminded that, like, even our toddlers and pre-Kers to a certain extent, like, they're just learning, like, what it looks like to be safe with adults and safe with people. And if we can teach them at least that God is safe and loving, like, I think we've done our job well.
Yeah.
But obviously as they get older, like, what Mike is learning in his classes is hopefully he has that foundation of, like, God is safe. But now, like, how can I trust God to be who he says he is, right? Because kids at that age are always, like, testing, like, how are adults, like, being who they say they are, or how am I gonna, like, test if what I do affects them too. So I think it's a wonderful curriculum. So thank you for bringing that to Antioch too.
Yeah. And we, and what I also love too is at that older age, they're actually reading the Bible.
Yeah.
Because in the beginning, you know, when kids can't read, you know, we're kind of reading the story to them. Mm-hmm. But after a certain point, starting in the kindergarten and up, as they learn to read, we're actually getting them to read those actual biblical passages. And then every story points to Jesus. That's the other thing. They always have a Jesus connection. So just as the storybook Bible that our little ones read, always every story points to Jesus, the Gospel Project is no different. They're pointing to that bigger story of redemption and how all these characters, all these stories, all the ways that God has done different things throughout the whole Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, everything's pointing to Jesus and his story of redemption. And it's just really great because I think kids need to see it as one big story.
For sure.
Yeah.
And this isn't to like start to be critical about other things, but how is that, like, how is what you're doing with the kids now different from what you experienced growing up in church?
Well, I'm glad you asked. This was my church, but I did grow up in the Catholic faith. Mm-hmm. And my church was very traditional. I did have a different experience in college going to a Catholic church, which was a little more, they focused on relationship. But in my older, the church I grew up in, it was much more traditional. I did the Wednesday night school. They didn't even have a Sunday school. It was all Wednesday night.
Okay.
And you went through the sacraments and, you know, you had stories, but it was all head knowledge. Mm-hmm. Like there really wasn't, they didn't stress having a relationship with Jesus. It was like, it was more like you need to know these things.
No connection between like that, the head and the heart there.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. And thankfully, God definitely did something during confirmation classes. Like he definitely, I could feel his presence. I think I felt more of a connection with him. And maybe it was because I had really good, you always have to have kind of like a sponsor. And it was my aunt, and she is just a wonderful person. And I think it helped having some people speaking in during that time. So I did get confirmed. But I think that disconnect between head and heart caused me to struggle in college to keep with it when I didn't have my family there. Because I did go to the UW-Madison campus, and so I wasn't at home. Like, I didn't have my family to, you know. I had people encouraging me to go, but it was a struggle because I didn't have that deep desire to know Jesus more. It just wasn't there. It was like, well, I got it all. I know everything now.
Right. And I literally was confirmed.
Yeah, exactly. So it just was different. So here, we are such a church that really wants people to have that heart transformation, that Jesus is Lord of our life, Lord of our heart and our mind. And I want kids to start growing in that and really have a good foundation for that here.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's cool too to like have it redeemed, you know, from not that what you just described is trauma, but like to have a different experience now than you had growing up, I think is very cool.
Yeah.
So now this year we're starting a new thing. Now, or just in the last 2 weeks, we've started this new education hour or Sunday school class. For those of us that grew up in the 90s free churches, Talk a little bit about how, when we first started brainstorming this idea, like, what were your thoughts, your reactions, like, what were your fears? Like, I don't know, because I think we just had some great conversations at that point of, like, how do we even do this, and is it possible, before we even get into the, like, the why, you know, and what.
Yeah, I was on board, like, right away, because I think it is hard, and myself included, I want to continue to grow in my knowledge of the Lord. And it's hard in weeknights and other times and weekends to want to do that because it's like kids are got tons of activities. I'm tired by the end of the night. Somebody always has to stay home. Bedtime with three is not super fun. So I just was like, well, I would love to go to a class, but I can't, or I don't feel like I can, or I'm too tired to do it. So to be able to offer that in the morning for families, and then knowing that their kids are somewhere safe, they're learning together, they're having fun together, building connections together, learning together. Like, yeah, that's great, because that allows many more. And I think we've seen some proof with that by the number of attendees so far.
Totally.
That is working great. The fears were, how do we find the people to do this? How much more work do I need to do? No. I think the excitement about it outweighed the logistics of it.
Sure.
I think in my mind it was, I think we can make this work.
Sure. Well, and some of it was moving volunteers out of one pocket and into another, but we still did end up needing more than we did before. About how many more did we have to recruit?
Well, it's like it is with any volunteering entity. You lose some, you gain some. It's right. always a wash.
And especially at a seasonal change.
Right. Yeah. And I think God does it to keep me humble a bit, honestly. because I always think, oh, I'll just get this bunch of people. And it's like, God just always gives me just the right amount. And I think, okay, Lord. Yep. It's always the right amount. So we did lose some people, and so that meant we had to gain some people. And we have a lot of amazing volunteers that want to help as much as they can in the church. Mm-hmm. So sometimes scheduling doesn't always work out to
right. –
it's like, I would love to schedule you more, but I can't because you're helping in other ways.
Oh, so, right, because they're like greeters or
yeah,
tech
exactly.
or whatever.
Or worship. And so that was a little something that I didn't quite anticipate it being as difficult as it was to right. get enough people. Because in my brain, I didn't see all those little facets of it. But in the end, we've got enough people. Mm-hmm. People are super excited about it. And nobody's grumbling yet.
Yeah, I know. It's been, I think for having it, we've only done it 2 weeks. But
yeah,
I feel like we've knocked it out of the park for 2 weeks. You know, like I've been so impressed with even the kids, like rolling with it. Because the other big thing that we changed, for those of you that aren't parents, maybe don't know this, kindergarten through second graders used to be dismissed during the sermon for their own class. Well, now they're in the service with us the whole time. And so we don't have to have teachers for that section, but we also have them in the service.
Yeah, I think that makes a huge difference. It's hard on my team, which is why we have to cycle through them.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have like a bigger rotation just for the fact that when you're in the classroom during the service, you're missing out on the worship time and
right.
the message. So having those groups, I think, have been super on board and enjoying the fact that they can still teach the kids, be a part of that, but then also be able to grow too.
Yeah.
So, going back to what you were saying, though, about the kids having to adjust to being in the service now at that K through second grade. I will admit my son Isaac is still adjusting to that.
Totally. Not the only one.
Yeah. But I think it's always been a vision we've had for kids that as they get older, they need to learn how to be in a service.
Mm-hmm.
They need to learn how to be able to pay attention, connect with the adults around them, hear a message that's maybe a little more complex so that they can ask questions. Say, well, why did Pastor Patrick say this? And we need to, kids need to get to that point. I mean, heck, we in COVID, all the kids were in the service all the time. It can be done. It's just training them how to do it well. Building them up and that they are capable of doing it.
Totally. And so, it's different than sitting in school where you have to just, not that all schools are like this, but, you know, sit, be quiet, listen, and don't do anything. We're a little looser than that. But I do love, like, the family feel of it, that, the message is geared towards adults. It's always going to be geared towards adults.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember sitting in church with my parents and picking up stuff, along the way. So I love that, especially as kids are getting, as they get old enough and start to ask about things like communion and baptism and wanting to be involved in those kinds of things, to never see it in the service, it's not going to come up as quickly.
Yeah. Yep.
So what is the education hour going to look like for this coming year? I mean, curriculum wise, structure wise, what are your hopes?
Well, I'm kind of excited because we're going to continue to do our gospel project units. We're going to kind of break them up a little bit. Because we don't follow the schedule that Gospel Project kind of, they kind of have a schedule set.
Right.
We don't need to follow that. Like, we're choosing not to follow it, so we can kind of break it up as we need to. So I'm really excited for our older kids to be able to do, some more topical things.
Oh, yeah.
For instance, we're going to do, while the grownups are learning about finances and, giving and things like that, our kids are going to have a lesson on tithing as well, using what God has given us to bless others and resources and tithing. And so we're going to do something like that. And then what is baptism versus child dedication?
Oh,
because
nice.
I think that's important that there are two different words that they're hearing. Like, what is the difference? And then also, I think the other one I had on my thoughts was missions. Like, what's a missionary?
Right.
And having a guest come in and help with that. So that, I love that we're able to do that because I think it just, it's topics that have been on my heart to teach kids about.
Right.
And so now we kind of have a frame to do it. Whereas before it was all the kids were separate and it was hard to be able to kind of put that in that place. Mm-hmm. So, and my thought too is then to take those topics and bring them down to the other classrooms, the toddlers and the preschool, in a much simpler way.
Right.
Of how they can, what is tithing? What is giving, you know, taking what God has given us to give to others? What is that? Why do we do that? And do it in a way that's something they can understand too.
Yeah. You know, I'm just remembering now, I think at my grandparents' church growing up, because we were there a lot, we would travel a lot. And I think it was there, but I think it may have also been at my home church growing up. Even in Sunday school, they would pass around an offering box.
Mm.
And it kind of looked a little bit like those Ronald McDonald House boxes, yeah. Like where you collect the pennies or whatever. But they would pass it around and they'd take offering during Sunday school. And this was before the service. Like, so you still took offering before the service or during the service. But it was a way like us as kids would, mom would say like, oh, take this quarter to Sunday school. I'd be like, why? And because I didn't, you know, remember that that was what they did at that church or whatever. But I also, like, it's interesting to, like, have those, even if they're just rote before you understand what they are for or what they mean. Like, did I pray over that quarter? No, I probably didn't, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but to have that just experience, that act of, okay, I'm going to give, or now I'm going to sing, or now I'm going to read my Bible, or, you know, like, it's these tools that we can teach our kids now so that as they age, they can understand them later. You know,
yeah.
and have some of the skills at least be familiar. I love that.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever really, we may have had a lesson here or there on like giving and tithing, but it's never been a formal
thing. It's one of the only downsides, and it's not even a downside really, but it's just one of the things that Gospel Project doesn't cover because they're so focused on let's get the story of the Bible right, which I am all for.
Right. You know,
big fan. and so I think it works out great. That class you mentioned is, we're calling it Faithful Finances, and it's starting in two Sundays.
Yeah.
So Dan Moose has one more Sunday on Effective Gospel Living, and then there will be three Sundays with Joel Love, our treasurer, and Adam Hubb are going to co-lead this three-week class on Faithful Finances. And that's literally all I know about it, but I know they're going to be great. It's not going to be like a strict budgeting class. It's much broader than that. But yeah, I'm excited to have those conversations with the kids and adults and just see kind of how the themes and ideas overlap and just how the Lord wants to use it.
Yeah. And then at the same token, we're kind of doing baptisms around Easter like we do every year. That's the point where we're going to talk about baptism versus child dedication.
Yeah.
Like, what is the difference? Especially for our older kids who haven't been baptized yet, but maybe we're dedicated. You know, like, what is baptism all about then? Like, if I, am I already, I've already done the dedication, and so do I need to do baptism? Or, you know, it's just kind of help, hopefully will help answer some of those questions if they haven't already talked with their families about it.
Right.
So, and then the other thing is, you know, this education hour and worship hour for kids helps us, it will help us do special topics related to Christmas. Like we can do more Advent themes that are outside of just their basic classroom time. And same with Easter. And so it just kind of opens up a little more time for us to spend with kids on these little topic areas.
Yeah. And that reminds me, like one thing that this is not the most important thing in the world, but I'm excited about it, is using that time for like doing something special in the service at Christmas or around Christmas or around Easter, whatever, like palm branches on Palm Sunday, you know, that we've always had a hard time getting kids and parents coordinated to get together to plan something, much less practice it, because everyone's busy and evenings are hard. But having this built-in ed hour, we can say, okay, everybody, you know, put on your costumes.
And it doesn't feel extra. It doesn't feel like, oh, now I'm spending an extra hour after church to do this practice, or maybe a Wednesday night, or, you know, it's not like an extra thing. It's already planned. The time is already set aside. It just, it's easier on families to be able to do that, because we haven't been able to do it in the past because it's just too hard to get parents and families able to make the time for it.
Yeah, even when the desire was there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I did reach out one year and I said, how much time are you able to commit to putting a play together with your kids? And it was pretty much just like, oh, I can give a couple hours. so it's like, well, that's not enough to really do a play. So
yeah, not so much. Okay. We'll have kids stand up there dressed as sheep and be cute.
Yeah, exactly. And we've done that and it's fine. Yeah. But
no, that's great. Is there anything else?
The only thing I was going to say is, like, I'm looking at the kids' ministry from I lead it perspective.
Right.
So, of course, it's like I have that view of it. But if I take myself out of that and just be the parent for the moment, I like it because I can actually see my kids learning things the way I talk to them, and they respond with questions. I was just telling Coley just even before this podcast recording that we were able to have a conversation in the car ride to school about, we saw a mural and it said, "What sustains us?" And the artist had intended it to be something different. But right away, my kids were like, God. And yes, I know they're getting it from other areas other than church. But I have seen how the lessons they're learning, the connections they're making with their friends here, that is the fact that God came up so quickly. It is like solid in their heart.
Yeah.
And I know that having them here doing these lessons, memorizing verses, it is growing them and it is making a difference on how they see the world.
That's so cool.
So,
praise God.
Yeah.
I love that. And I'm so excited to see, like, I mean, as a church plant ourselves, I mean, you and I are like the only ones left, so to speak, from the plant portion of Antioch, you, me, and Nate. And to see Antioch continue to grow and evolve and mature, I feel like with the number of families we have now, we're starting to get a glimpse of like, what can Antioch look like when these kids are grown? And not to say everyone's going to stay, you know, because people move and travel and go to school and whatnot. But, you know, take Micah and Isaac and Esther, you know, take your kids or take Dax, that as they grow and we start to see their skills and passions come out, like, how is the Lord going to use them in his mission, whether it's in Northeast or somewhere else? Mm-hmm. Like, it's so fun to see that and to see that just the foundation starting to be laid of like, what sustains us? My first answer, God sustains us.
Mm-hmm. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah. And I just love watching them start from babies. And even if families come and go, I'm still seeing a group of kids growing, like just even physically.
Right.
And through going from babbling to speaking, and then suddenly they're being super responsible and helping another kid. And I just love seeing that change in these kids.
Having week after week. Sorry, I didn't mean to step on your toe.
No, it's good.
Having the kind of one room schoolhouse feel for the first 15 minutes of the education hour has been fun for me too. This last week, I just got to watch, and Andrea Oram led songs, which was really great. And which is also fun to get to do some silly songs with the kids or just actions or, you know, and play around. And to see the comfort level shift from this week, from last week, the first week, there was just some deer in the headlights children, you know, like, what are we doing? What is going on? And so this week we did the same songs. Andrea explained them again and just kind of, and there was this familiarity, there was this comfort. And I mean, Dax has been singing those songs for 2 weeks straight. Just constant, which is awesome. I would much rather have that than who knows what else.
Yeah. And then we may find that, oh, now they're bored and we got to change the songs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, we'll change them this week. Yeah.
I know. It's one of those things where it's like we're all learning together and even the kids are learning with us.
Totally.
Of how to do this well. And I think I just love that we're all just super humble and willing to be goofy and fail together. Totally. Or, you know, and then celebrate when things go really well. And we're all willing to do it together as a family and not just, whoa, that did not go well. That is not okay with me. You know, we have just such a familial mentality about it, I think.
There was something else cool that happened. Did you tell me about this or did someone, maybe Rachel did, that one of the fifth graders noticed that there was a new sign in front of the rooms and it said youth group. And, you know, fifth grade is not youth group. Sixth grade is. And the fifth grader peeked in and was like, what? They have their own room? And there's a couch in there and it's cool. And, you know, she just goes, wow, this is awesome. I can't wait to be in here. And for me, like from a child development perspective, like that is fantastic to have something that kids aspire to be a part of, but can't yet.
Yeah.
Because it means that there's like an achievement and it's just an age, you know, but to say like, no, you actually aren't old enough to be there yet. And now you are.
Yeah.
And then you're in and you can be a part of it. And it's a different conversation. It's a different room. I just think it's so exciting. I love seeing the kids start to kind of gel with their peers. And then aspire to be, I mean, like my son is just in love with all the older kids, just absolutely adores them. And so to be together worshiping, even just for a few minutes, is great. And then to split off and have your own thing, I think is also awesome.
I think that's one of the best things about it is having all the age groups together. Mm-hmm. The older ones can serve the littler ones and littler ones can, aspire to be the bigger ones, you know, and being all together to worship is really special. So,
cool.
Yeah.
That's it. Awesome. Well, thank you, Sarah, for taking a few minutes of your morning to talk with us. And if anybody wants to get involved with kids ministry, we will take you. You can talk to Sarah on Sundays or Sarah with an H, sarah@antiochcommunity.org. I think that's it.
All right. Thank you.
See you next time.